Today we get to finish Malachi, and I'm pretty excited about it. This has been an Old Testament book, the very last words of God before the Old Testament's done. And today we get the last words of the last words, which is pretty amazing. I so hope as we finish Malachi today that it is a day of rejoicing for you. Oh, not that we're finishing Malachi. Not that we're going into Advent, but because we get to talk about the day of the Lord. If there's anything this whole book, you know, Malachi is one of a series of prophets that are all put together in one book called the 12. And what the 12 is known for is something called prophetically the day of the Lord. You got to know it. It's a big part of us and who we are and what we believe in understanding the God and what he's doing. It is huge. Looming term in Bible prophecy, in God's plan, and we talk about it today. Fantastic. You know, God's plan isn't like our plans. My plans are, you know, hour by hour, minute by minute, I plan out temporally. God's plan is from eternity. My plan, you know, there's a very famous line, I forget the guy's name, but it says, no plan survives first contact with the enemy. That means have plan B, C, and D ready to go. God's plan is A. He planned it. It's done. It survives all contact with everything because he's God, right? No contingencies. Amazing. It's not just that he knows it all and he doesn't need to change it. It's that he spans everything from history. God's mostly hidden. Mostly you don't see what God does. But in the Bible, and at specific times, God breaks in, the God of the universe, and he says to you, this is happening. He doesn't give you moment by moment. He doesn't tell me that I'm going to have a latte tomorrow morning. I probably won't. I'll probably have tea. But he's breaking in with specific things that you frames your entire life. It is his story, history, right? But it's also our story because he's made promises to us. And if he has made promises to us, they will come to pass because his plans, his promise, his word never fails. Okay, so we started Malachi with that, right? God said to them, I have loved you. And it's not because they've been, stellar. They are loved by God because that is what God has said he will do to his people. He has put his love on them. Absolutely. He made a promise to Abraham 1,500 years before Malachi was prophesying. I mean, think about that. 1,500 years. Of course, we're reading a book that's 2,400 years old. This is big stuff. This is amazing things. His plan. He works in scopes of thousands of years, not moments alone. He doesn't have to tell us everything, but then these events that are big deals, like creation, right? When he made people, the flood, when almost everybody died, when he made the rainbow. When he chose Abram, and called him out of Ur and said, I'm going to bless the whole world through you. When he made Israel and he met with Moses on Sinai, that's God. And we think, oh, that's A to B to C to D. But there's hundreds of years in between. Amazing things. And at various times, he sent prophets to Israel and spoke to them. Not back to back, but Elijah and Elisha, and Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Malachi. You know, there's been literally billions of people who have lived on earth. My mind can't even process it. All of them used by God because the earth is a drop in the bucket of the vastness that is the God of the universe. I should now say universes. He's massive. But we're pointed to only a few people to understand He knows our minds can't even get it. So he's pointed to a few things to help make sure we're in the right orientation. So Malachi, right? That's when he's telling the people the last words of God before 400 years of silence, before the last Old Testament prophet comes. You know who that is, right? We're going to talk a bit about him today. What did he say again? What has he said in Malachi? Don't think your imperfect efforts at law keeping are good enough. That's what he said, right? It's been 5, 6 different times when he said this. What? We're trying our best. Oh no, your impure sacrifices. They're not good enough. Right? Your limited tithes. Your bad eyesight. Your wearisome words. Come back, try harder, he said to them. Stay under the law. Don't think you've graduated. You're not moving on from that. Just stay there. And so he takes his nation Israel and he parks them in this room where they keep beating their head against the wall of their imperfect ability to do the law of God that God gave them. So he tells them, you get to know that. And then today, he says, you also get to know this over here. Oh. There's a day coming. A day. There's a change. You look around and it seems like bad people are prospering. You have no idea about the day of the Lord. It's a treasured specific reference to this coming day, and God promises that when hidden things are revealed, and today we get to see it, look at it full in the face, it is what we rejoice in. And if you're with me today, a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ, it's a marvelous day. Too often we've made it a bad day. So we're going to take a look at it. Malachi chapter 4, it's the whole chapter, it's just 6 verses, and it ends, the letter here, it ends what Malachi has written as God's locked his people up, and then he turns and he says, hey, there's a day. First, it's a day of victory. Victory. Don't look like victory now, but it's coming, you see. That's what he tells them. He says, verse 1, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. Right? That's this coming specific day. The day of the Lord, this day. What happens? Well, it's burning like an oven. That means hot, right? Yeah, no duh, Dax. Hot, hot, hot. Hot with judgment, really, because what he's getting at isn't, the temperature's going to go up. No, it's speaking of how evildoers and arrogant people will be reduced to stubble. Got to get this, you know. You and I, we live daily lives. Lives that don't seem to change. Well, they do, you know, daylight savings time comes, and I change my clock. Sometimes I get up a little earlier and sometimes a little later. But you know what comes up every day? The sun comes up every day. And it goes across the sky and it sets. And the next day is like it. And my days have a routine. There are certain things that are simply taken for granted. And that's what he's talking about. That's a trap, you know. Because God says, I want you to know, change will come. He doesn't say, you're going to make it come. I mean, that's the same thing in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We read it in Peter. I'm going to put it up because he's referring to this. And this is where Peter also in this line prophetically is speaking. I mean, just will you hear it with me? Here's Peter. Oh, it's hard to see, but it's okay. Knowing this, first of all, we read this. Scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. What's the scoffing? What do you mean scoffing? Well, they're going to say, where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. What they're saying is nothing's going to change. I can manipulate this earth and the things that are happening because nothing's going to change. It's going to stay the same. And therefore, I have the ability to do the things that I want to do. It says they deliberately overlooked this fact that the heavens existed long ago. The earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. He's talking about the flood, right? Like in the days of Noah, people were just living, and Noah's over that idiot building an ark. Pardon my language, because he wasn't. He was listening to God, and he was doing something they didn't even understand because it had never rained. And it happened. That's what Peter's saying. By the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment, destruction of the ungodly. This day! It's coming, says Peter. And in the last days, there's even more people who think, what in the world? That's not coming. This is our faith. This is the word of God. He even ends it this way. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth that the works that are done on it will be exposed. I just want you to see, because what I focus on, and rightly so, because it's amazing, is the burning up of everything. And but really, the point is, everything will be what? Exposed. You don't see. You don't understand. You're sitting around. We're talking about it in the class across the way of what's evil and how does God... How do you even know? Well, I know because I read my Bible. What evil? Really? God hasn't shown you all the things that are going on. But I'll tell you what, there's coming a day. That's our faith, right? That's what we believe, right? That's what Peter's saying there. And the point is, things are exposed. The works done on the earth will be exposed. Yeah, that doesn't sound very good to me. Indeed, that's what Malachi's saying, right? He's saying, hey, the evildoers, the arrogant, those who don't keep the law of God, trying not to point at everybody. But I start to get a little like, ooh, because look what he says about him back in Malachi chapter 4. Here we are. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, these evildoers and arrogant people, says Yahweh of hosts, the God of armies, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. That's kind of the whole point here. It isn't so much that there's a new heaven and a new earth. The focus is that the evil and the arrogant are burned up. The God of armies, he sees everything and he will act in neither root nor branch. That means they won't have anything to put out to get sunlight and healing. They won't have any roots to get sustenance. They'll just be burned up, a dead log, burning on the fire. That sounds like pretty sad news. Thanks for the bummer of a Sunday morning, Dex. But it's not bad news. No, it's not. Not for me. Not for you who trust Jesus Christ. Because we are God's. That's his word of promise to me. He's my dad. So look what it says to us. But for you who fear my name, the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Wait, stop there for a minute. That's fantastic news. The sun of righteousness rising with healing in its wings. It's a reference to the rays of the sun, right? Those are the wings of the morning that talks about in Psalm 139. The same phrase. It's this idea that from God comes healing rays. The heat and destruction to the wicked brings healing to his kids. And you suffer now and you don't see now and you can't understand now and you don't get healing now. But when the sun of righteousness rises, healing is in the rays. Those who are God's, you know, we don't go slinking around sad that God, that he didn't, you know, can let evil continue. His people don't worry if they're the evil ones. God's declared The day's coming, you know. You don't get to see all these things going on. You don't get to see how I'm working over here and I'm working over here and I'm working over here. I'm not showing you, says God, and my heart says, you better show me. Sorry, Lord. No lightning bolts, please. Because what he does show me, he's going to make it right. And look at what his people do. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Huh? That doesn't sound very fun. No. I'm not a farmer. Rocky raises heel no more. I cut him up. But this is what I think it is. I think the calf, right, rambunctious, wants to turn around. It's been locked up in a stall. It's been kept there. All of a sudden you open up. You say, go play. And it leaps out and runs around. Tumbles. Who cares? Because it's so energetic and running around and woohoo. I know I got to stop that. My wife says, don't say woohoo. But it's amazing, you guys. It's going to be so fantastic. It's remarkable. And the running around, it's actually running around on the ashes of the wicked. What? Yeah, look what he says. And you shall tread down the wicked. That's not you fighting the wicked. It says, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says Yahweh of hosts. I'm going to act, says God, and the wicked will be ashes and you'll be dancing over them. That sounds like a very inappropriate attitude. No, this is the victory that God says, you guys, he's going to make it right. It's his rightness. It's perfect. It's true. It's awesome and amazing. The day, the coming day, running around on the ashes of the wicked means the wicked have been consumed. This is not a theology of annihilation or hell or anything like that. It's a theology of victory, of joy, of what God does for you. When all the things we say of God that we trust in, that we hold on to by faith, becomes sight. We don't see it now. I don't evaluate rightly. I don't understand even. It's not wisdom to be had to say, oh, yes, let me explain to you the ways of God. Yeah, the ways of God are hidden. Except something's going to come. He's going to break in and it's going to be fabulous. Those who spit on God, those who curse him and won't receive him, yeah, they're gone. But here's the thing. God will act. God has a plan. Do you see the last words? He's speaking on the day when he acts, when he moves. You don't move. He does. Victory's coming is what you need to know. You don't see me, but I'm here. And your mind, so hold on. Last words. The day is coming. And while you wait, he says, I have a charge for you. He says to his people there at the end of the Old Testament. There's a charge. Something to do. What is it? Okay, that's verse 4. Here it is. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Soak that in, right? He speaks to Israel, the nation that's under the law, and he refers back to what he said to Moses 1,000 years ago. I don't think of that. I spoke to you guys 1,000 years ago. Keep doing it. I spoke for all Israel. And through Malachi, he looks at the same people at the end of the Old Testament and he says, are you Israel? Yes. Okay. Remember, this is your part. This is the law of Moses. Keep it. And then he's going to shut up again. Be quiet for another 400 years. Do the law of Moses. Try harder. You're not actually doing it very well. That's where I'm leaving you. That's my plan. You heard me. That's what you're supposed to do. And what's going to come out of that, you guys, in the intervening years? Because it's super important. You know what I do with that? I say, well, that is God's plan for all eternity, for all mankind. We need to take that message to China. We need to make sure people know. Do the law of God while we wait for God to come back. And is that what happened? Is that what he did? He doesn't say that, right? So what actually happened? Here's what actually happened. When God told them and locked them up in this room, you know what happened, right? They said, okay, we got to double down on making sure that we always do the law of God. And they started forming societies like the Society at Qumran. So we got the Dead Sea Scrolls, not the Dead Sea Souls. Another group, we're going to make sure society is running in such a way that we are keeping the law of God and we're keeping it so pure and so holy because this is the instruction. And so what came out of that was a group called the Pharisees. That's what comes. This is the greatest upside down thing ever. The most amazing thing that God does not work in the way you think he works. Because my thinking is, oh, so he said to his people to do the law. And then, and so if you want to be his people, do the law. And slowly we'll advance the law and we'll go this way. Instead, what he did, upside down. Because that's what, do the plan. It's his plan. Why? Because my Savior's coming. Through Israel, of David, to my people, he will say the same thing to them. You're not doing the law very well. I mean, read the Sermon on the Mount. And he will be killed by them for that. Because by killing him, he dies on a cross and sheds his blood for our sin and rises from the dead and saves the world. Oh. I guess God has a different plan than I would imagine. Yes! It's totally different than you would ever think. But he says, okay, I'm telling them this, and he told them this, his nation that he'd chosen, that through them will come the Messiah, and of the line of David will come the Messiah. But I want my job for you, do the law as best you can and work on it super hard. And so they're sitting there working on it super hard and thinking, that's the way. And actually God is doing something totally hidden that they don't understand. So isn't that the charge to us too? To Christians? It says, no. Not if you think it through, right? We're in the line of lost pagans. Well, Israel is doing God's plan over here. God is working something else over there. He's doing his thing. What's going on during these years in China and India and people? And God, is God not? No, God is orchestrating a plan by which the whole world, by trusting Jesus, can be his kids. It's going to include every single person ever born if they just trust this way. And as he closes down the Old Testament and he's almost ready to get his son where he's going to become a human being, God become man is the greatest miracle the world's ever known. And what he does is he gives them a sign. He gives them a sign. Here at the end, we're looking ahead and he says there's a sign. What is it? Oh, that's verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of Yahweh comes. So Elijah the prophet's going to come, is the last words of the Old Testament. Before the great and awesome day, the thing to look for is Elijah. So you just continue on. Try to do the law. Try to be better. Beat your head against that wall. You're not going to see well. You're not speaking well, you're not doing well, but you're restrained under these rules and you keep an eye out for who? For Elijah. This is why the Jewish nation, even to this day on Passover, right, they keep an empty seat for who? It's not for Moses. It's for Elijah. Because of this verse. Because Elijah signals a change. Well, that's interesting. What do you know about Elijah? Well, I know he came in the time of kings and the nation was all those kings, man, they were so bad against God. But Elijah came and he was strong for God and he pointed the way. Okay. What do you know from the New Testament? Well, there's the last of the Old Testament prophets. Who's that? He was the one in the spirit of Elijah. How do we know that? Well, when he was born, you know. Here's Luke chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, where the angel of God is speaking to his dad, Zechariah. He says, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. This is the angel of God talking. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. You know, this guy coming is Elijah. Who is he talking about? John the Baptist. He's not talking about Jesus. John the Baptist, you know. I mean, John denied it. John says, I'm not John the Baptist. I mean, Elijah. But Jesus said of John, look at this in Matthew 11. Jesus says, if you're willing to accept it, John the Baptist is Elijah who is to come. Oh, my. Get how cool this is. There's a plan. It's God's plan. They don't totally get it. We don't either. But they get to know this. Before the day of the Lord, before the next step of my incredible plan in history, this happens. Elijah comes. And he will begin the turning, because without this next step, the entire world loses. There is destruction for everything. What do I mean? Well, back to Malachi. See what he's saying. He, Elijah, will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, the hearts of their children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with the decree of utter destruction. If I didn't take this next step, everything's gone. But the next step is Elijah will come and point to who? Jesus. This is amazing. This is fantastic. John the Baptist comes. He preaches repentance. He said, there's someone's coming, John the Baptist says. And Jesus comes. He lets John the Baptist baptize him. Remember that? How the heavens split open and the Spirit came down like a dove and the voice came, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. John points to Jesus. Even John in the womb, you know, before Jesus is born, and Mary, and Jesus is in Mary's womb, and there's Elizabeth, and John the Baptist, and the baby leaps. Jesus Christ, every single person who turns, who says, I didn't do the law. I can't do the law. I have no hope in my righteousness. My only hope is in his righteousness. Every single one who looks to the one who's lifted up is saved. Oh, God has done this. Everyone is a leaping calf, rejoicing at the rays of healing, at the rising of the Son of Righteousness that will come. And with these words, the book of Malachi ends. This is the last words of the Old Testament. In fact, they're so difficult. Oh man, if we're not, destruction might come, that a lot of rabbis flipped the verses because they wanted to have like something nice at the very end. But it's not negative. And that's what I want to make sure you see this morning. Because we'll be distracted by just about anything, me included. My favorite thing is my dog. I take her for a walk, and man, if there's a squirrel. All of a sudden, she forgets whatever I'm telling her, and she's off for the squirrel. When you get distracted, and you're thinking, oh, hot and heat and this and that, and you're going this way and that. You forget how amazing and wonderful this is. God says to Israel, don't worry. I'm going to judge the wicked. You don't have to. Stay under the law, the day comes. That's what he says to his nation. Look for Elijah before the coming. That's when things change. And then John the Baptist came and everything changed. But be honest, right? You aren't a lawkeeper. We're in the same boat as everybody. There's a Savior. The God who has been silent was born. Heaven and earth can't hold the wonder of the news, the mystery that Gentile, outcast, nobodies, that's you and me, that's where we were. We're on the outside looking in. We're not trying to keep the law. We're not trying to be good people. We're totally lost. And God goes on the highway and he gathers us in and he says, you know what? You be mine. Because I've changed it. This is my plan. This is not somehow God on plan B. It's always been plan A. That he adores you. That he knows. When he put them under the law, when God put Israel under the law, when Romans is going to come along and say there's nobody righteous, no, not one, no one's ever had anything good that they've been able to say they are from the law. That's been his plan. I think he's giving them the law in order that they might be righteous, good people. And that's what righteous, good people will be. God's plan is, no, I'm keeping them in a jail cell, locking them up to try this, because out of that's going to come the Pharisees that are going to kill Jesus, and Jesus is going to rise from the dead and save everybody. You can't make it up. Best movie writer ever. God. Only it's not a movie. It's not the Avengers. It's not Wicked. It's not something. It's the truth. And it's fantastic. Jesus Christ came and he called this motley group of followers, fishermen and tax collectors and zealots and nobodies. And he took a couple of them. Remember this? We'll end with this. He took a couple of them up on a mountain. Our Savior did, the Son of God, when he was here. Remember that? He took Peter and James and John, and they went up on this mountaintop, and there appeared with him Moses and who? Elijah. The great law giver, God gave the law through Moses, the great prophet representing the Old Testament prophets, Elijah, and they're talking with Jesus, and Jesus is talking about his exodus. So fantastic. But I love this. I love this. Peter and John, they're looking at it. Peter's like, well, let's build three tents and let's go. No. Look how it ends. In Mark chapter 9, verse 8. Because then suddenly it says, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but Jesus only. It's always just been Jesus only. Today we've seen the plan. We see a hint of it. We see God break in history and says there's this and there's this coming and there's lots we don't understand from A to B. But I know who does. That's God. Our Father. The promises he's made to you and me. Some of it we look back, we go, you know what? Oh yeah, those misguided Israelites. You know, they didn't see that it was all about their inability, all about Jesus. You know what that mostly makes me wonder? What don't I see? Because I'm like, well, I'm a New Testament Christian and I read the New Testament. Therefore, I know everything and I'll pass judgment on you. What don't I know? Let me tell you, it's going to be big. That what God actually does, his timing, what he's doing, how he's doing it, will be upside down from anything I know. But I know the pieces that he breaks in with. So I know this. Healing's coming. I know we're going to run around in amazing joy. I know from Revelation that sin will be gone and the fear of it and tears will be wiped away. I know all that because it's a promise from God. I know I'm righteous. And I don't say that because of anything I've done. I say that by the promise of God that never changes, that never fails. And you are too, any single person, anybody in this room, anybody in the world who will say, Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm turning from my self-salvation. I'm turning to hope in this one who came and died as a criminal outside the camp that his blood might cover me. That's where I want to be. We know we're the righteous ones because the righteous one has shown in our hearts, has promised we are his, who says, trust me, he did it and it worked. We're all awaiting the day today, you and I. The day of the Lord has begun. Because Jesus came, Elijah came, right? But there's a day burning like an oven. I don't know when it is. When the ashes of the evil ones are underfoot. When all is exposed. When faith becomes sight. When the waiting is done. When we leap like calves who've been cooped up in the stalls. And we're free because we're part of a plan so much bigger than we know. And we are in the loving hands of the one who has promised that he has us forever. Remember what Jesus said? I know who are mine. And not a single one of them will be lost. Take that one home. We're his forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, as we think about the Old Testament and the closing of it and your words to Israel, and we realize we are not Israel, Lord. We are saved by the wonder of the good news of Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. Help us to trust you more, Lord. Help us not to look with eyes that judge, but to be curious and waiting and hopeful, knowing that you promised that you are coming soon. Please, Lord Jesus, come. Seems like you'd be here already, Lord. But we wait and we look for you. In your precious name.